But first now, on to a world exclusive. For the first time, we've got pictures of Op Sindoor strikes on two major terror centers in Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. We'll show you those images in a while. But the areas in red, the Sayedna Bilal camp, is in Muzaffarabad in Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. That is an extremely densely populated area. It's the so-called capital of the so-called Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. And Golpur, Kotli, which is over here, that's about 40 kilometers west of Rajouri. All of these are terrorist camps that you see on your screen, but it's the places in red that are the two areas that we are talking about. Sayedna Bilal in Muzaffarabad and Golpur. So let's move to Sayedna Bilal in Muzaffarabad first. Bring out the first image. And what you will see are before and after images. So the image on the left is from the 13th of April, 2025. This is the terror camp. And we'll bring you many more details of the terror camp in a little while from now. But the key point is that this is an extremely densely populated area. There are lots of homes and buildings across the entire area, which is why, in order to prevent collateral damage over here and strike over here, you needed a weapon system with a great deal of precision. Now, if you move to the other image of the 29th of May, a couple of days after the strike took place, can we go back to the previous image? If we go back to the previous image, which I was trying to compare, then this is the target which has been hit. And what we can try and do is, in a few moments from now, we'll zoom into this area. So again, the key point that I'm making is that it was only this area which was struck, while everything else over here remained intact. So in other words, collateral damage was avoided. Let's zoom in now to that next image, which shows you the extent of the structural damage in this Sayedna Bilal camp. It's 92 feet by 80 feet, and there is damage in the roof over here and over here, possibly over here as well. I'm a bit unclear about damage in this area. It could be a shadow that we're looking at, but certainly massive damage over here and higher up as well. If there's anybody inside that building, they would likely have been badly injured, if not eliminated. There is corroborative footage from the ground as well of the extent of these strikes. So again, no damage in any other area around it, which is significant, which points possibly to the use of loitering drones, but our sources not telling us the weapon system which was used. We are almost certain that these were loitering drones. Let's move now to the next one. And the next one is of Kotli Golpur, further south of what we were seeing in Muzaffarabad. Now, this is an image from the 3rd of October, 2024. This particular structure was struck along with this one during Op Sindoor. This was built in 2022, I believe, between the months of August and September. It's believed to be a major terror training camp. Again, details of what these were all about, I will tell you in a few minutes from now. But this is what they were targeting on approximately the 7th of May. And if you move to the image over here, this is an image of the 14th of May, a week after the strikes took place. You can see over here that this building has been entirely destroyed right down the middle. That's where the loitering drone presumably went and struck it. This has been entirely destroyed. And the building right to right beneath it in this image has been struck as well, again on the roof, and it's been hit very, very hard. But the next image actually zooms in on these strikes. So let's have the next image up. It's 112 feet in length, 28 feet in width is the main structure. Right in the middle is where these loitering drones presumably went in, causing a huge amount of damage. Anything inside these remaining structures would have seen a great deal of damage as well. And this is the smaller building, 38 feet by 28 feet. Again, right in the middle, that roof has been entirely destroyed. The weapon is pierced through the roof, and there's damage inside that as well. Now, you've seen, again, these hits, incredibly precise hits, which have taken place. But what we'd like to do at this stage is tell you why the Indian Army, which took out these targets, was focusing on them. So let's move to the next set of graphics and go back to what I had started discussing initially, Muzaffarabad. and this terror camp. This was a staging camp in Muzaffarabad, the Sayyidna Bilal camp, a staging camp for the Jaish-e-Mohammed. Many senior leaders of the Jaish-e-Mohammed used to operate out of here. Let's move to the next page and talk a little bit about the Sayyidna Bilal terror camp. It was about 30 kilometers from the line of control. In terms of other details, it was located in an inhabited area. Again, I make that point that because there was so much inhabitation, the terrorists possibly felt that it would be impossible to target this one building. Otherwise, there'd be a great deal of potential loss of life. But the strike was extremely precise on exactly this one place. So the fact that it was located in an inhabited area was very deliberate. There were weapons training here. There was explosives training as well for any number of terrorists who were picked up and recruited and brought in from these particular areas. So that's what the Muzaffarabad, the camp, was all about. And the key point, and this is the conclusion of sources that I have spoken to, is that multiple terror attacks in Doda and Kishtwar were in fact organized by terrorists who staged out of this area or at some level were involved in training and coordination from the Sayyidna Bilal terror camp in Muzaffarabad. So that's why this was taken out in terms of Op Sindoor. Let's move to Kotli, the other target that we showed you. Why is it important? Because it's a well-established Lashkar camp, army officers who've served in the area, including General Dua, who I interviewed and who you will see in a little while from now, explained the significance of Kotli Golpur. So a well-established Lashkar-e-Toyba camp, 13 kilometers from the line of control. What else do we have about it? Let's keep moving through these points. Syed Salahuddin, Masood Azhar, Hafiz Syed, three of the foremost terrorists in Pakistan, they have held meetings in this area. So these are the terrorists, the masterminds of some of the worst terror attacks in India, whether it's 2611 or IC814. These are our biggest enemies. They work through that area. And because of the interest of these terrorist leaders, there was a great deal of money which went to the Kotli terror camp. There was logistic support as well, which was provided. Now, in terms of the training, there were local youth who were recruited in this area. And these local youth were trained to pierce the line of control and parts possibly of the international border as well after receiving training in communications and in jungle warfare as well. So that's what the Kotli terror camp was all about. What I did do a little while back was speak to Lieutenant General Satish Dua, somebody who was the corps commander in Srinagar. I spoke to him about the significance of India hitting these specific camps. This is what he told me. Well, joining us now to take a look at the significance of these images and what they point to. Remember, this is a world exclusive. The first image is coming in of the Indian strikes during Op Sindoor on two major terror training camps in Pakistan-occupied Kashmir, which have been, you know, instrumental in pushing terrorists across into Jammu and Kashmir. I'm joined now by General Satish Dua. He commanded 15 Corps, that's the Srinagar Corps, in charge of fighting terrorists in the Kashmir Valley. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. General, two camps over here. Let's talk firstly about the Sayyidna Bilal camp in Muzaffarabad. Why was it important for India to strike this particular camp?
Muzaffarabad is a very important terror hub because it has the headquarters of not only Jaish-e-Mohammed, but also of Hizbul Mujahideen is in Muzaffarabad. And it also acts as a transit route for any terrorists that are coming in from further west, be it Pakistan, be it earlier days it used to be when it used to operate there, be it Afghanistan. So that acts as a route. And at any one point, there are more than one camps in Muzaffarabad. Like I said, there are different tanzeems operating over there. And at any one time, there would be a large number of terrorists spread across these camps. This particular camp, Sayyidna Bilal, was perhaps, as one gathers from the reports, had anything upwards of 20 terrorists training at that particular time when they were struck. So I think by a very precision strike on this Sayyidna Bilal camp, the images that we have seen, the kind of the precision strikes without any collateral damage show our capability, military capability, show our political resolve, and have struck a very telling blow on the Jaish-e-Mohammed hub at Muzaffarabad.
What we also know in terms of this camp was that as you mentioned, you know, it was used to train Jaish-e-Mohammed terrorists in the area. There were young people from this area. 40 terrorists were being indoctrinated for approximately 30 to 40 days. So this was an indoctrination center. I mean, this was in a sense the worst case scenario for Indian Armed Forces, because this is where terrorists would be trained, indoctrinated, armed, and then sent across, right?
Absolutely. You've given the precise figures. I was just going on the kind of media reports I've read, but you're right. Like I said, it's a conduit. It's a route. Yeah. And this is the last place where the youth are indoctrinated. I have spoken with some surrendered terrorists. You know, my regiment has a battalion that was made out of surrendered terrorists, the Territorial Army Battalion. And when they were in the terrorist ranks, they have actually been across. And they tell me that Muzaffarabad is the biggest hub of terror tanzeems in whole of POK.
And General, the key point is that terrorists, we believe, trained over here were directly responsible for specific terror attacks. As I understand it, it started with the killing of a village defense group in Duru Basantgarh, an ambush on an army convoy in Badnota, which was in Kathua, and an activation of Doda, the Doda Kishtwar area, and that the majority of terror attacks in 2024 in Jammu were in fact executed by terrorists who came out of here. So in as much as we found it difficult to track down terrorists once they entered, given the terrain, et cetera, the point that India was trying to make is we will take out where they've come from, to sort of eliminate the source, as it were. So this sends a larger message.
Absolutely. The areas that you mentioned. Now, after the terrorists were eliminated, we've been able to find evidence of where they've come from or some of their identities. We've given dossiers multiple times to the other side. Well, it really doesn't have any effect. But the larger point being made, as you also pointed out, is that these are the places, not only Muzaffarabad, the Kotli camp. You know, Kotli camp, which also the images show that has been struck very effectively.
Yep.
Now, Kotli camp is the one that sent in terrorists more towards the Jammu region, the Punch Rajouri areas, the pilgrims that were attacked. They were from the Kotli area. Kotli, ever since the abrogation of Article 370 took place about 6 years ago, there also we've noticed that we've had intel that all the Tanzeems actually coordinated their efforts. That is, Jaish-e-Mohammed, LET, and Hizbul Mujahideen, they coordinated their efforts with the ISI in the Kotli camp. The Kotli camp infrastructure got a big boost during the last 5 years because of such coordination and such high-level meetings taking place over there. As a matter of interest, I feel personally, I feel that I have commanded my battalion in Punch area. I've also commanded the Punch Brigade. When I was a brigadier, I used to be PGS in 16 Corps. Kotli figures always in our briefings. Kotli is just 13 kilometers from the line of control. And it used to figure so often in our briefings. And, you know, we used to feel helpless. Whenever we planned any operations, it would start, Kotli is the place where they are. And when they will start moving, which side they will start moving. We felt helpless. That we know their precise locations, but we really couldn't do anything about the terror camps itself. We had to actually lay down multiple ambushes, tiers of it, to trap them. But I think Pahalgam changed all that. And where now we see that we have shown our capability, we've displayed a clear capability, military capability to strike at will, precise strike without any collateral damage. And secondly, political resolve, the kind of bold decisions that have been taken during this Operation Sindoor and earlier. Earlier, we used to sort of hold back because of a nuclear self-restraint was because of a nuclear sort of blackmail, if I use the word, or a backdrop. But this time round, we have shown that we can strike the camps, and we will strike the camps whenever to safeguard our interests, whenever is required to safeguard our interests. And the last point I would like to make, will they rebuild the camp? Sure, they will do it. But they know that things have changed. Now we can strike their camps at will. They may shift the locations, yet we will find out. We will have our intel working on it. We have been so precise and effective that threat will always hang on the terror hubs.
You know, General, I'm also amazed by the precision of the strikes. Now, these were presumably loitering drones. I asked the army, can you tell me what you used? And they said, no, Vishnu, we certainly can't. But so this is my guess that these were loitering drones. Be that as it may, you know, they were devastatingly accurate, whatever the weapon system was. In the case of Kotli, this was a structure which is more than 110 feet long, which was right in the middle, struck. And a second building as well, just nearby, that was also completely destroyed. So, and Muzaffarabad as well, you know, it's a densely packed area. And therefore, collateral damage was always a concern. So the fact that we've got weapon systems like this, it's a huge force multiplier, right?
Absolutely. I must admit that I used to be a skeptic of a lot of made in India platforms and weapons. And also the fact that we had to integrate some of these systems with those that we had acquired from the foreign OEMs. But I am happy to be proven wrong. During Operation Sindoor, our precision strikes have been very effective. You mentioned Kotli. Let me just take the example of Muzaffarabad, that Saidna Bilal camp images that we've shown. You see, Kotli, the camp is sort of camped by itself. You know, there are trees around. But in Muzaffarabad, it is in a heavily built-up area. And yet, only the camp has been struck without collateral damage. So that shows the precision that our whatever systems were used, that the system, that our strikes have been able to achieve. So yes, I think a very good message has gone out to the other side. And of course, on the other side, on the contrary, from their side, none of their strikes were successful because our integrated air defense was very effective. So, both things being put together, I think we can look back on this operation with great amount of professional pride.
General, there were several other camps which were also struck. So, would you say that the message which was given, you know, will have the impact that we seek it to have? The reason I ask is because, you know, you mentioned that a camp is destroyed, that doesn't mean that terrorism goes. Essentially, what we are doing is eliminating some terrorists, but we aren't ending terrorism per se. Because terrorism in Pakistan is backed by the ISI, which is essentially the Pakistani military establishment, which is the de facto government. So we are hitting the weapons. In a sense, we aren't being able to hit the source.
While you are right, Vishnu, terrorism does not get obliterated the moment you hit at terrorist leaders or strike at terrorist camps. Whether it is here, before I come to our context, whether it is in Gaza, whether it is Hezbollah, whether it is in Iran, you know, wherever targets are struck, they will recuperate. But now coming back to our situation, you know, before 2016, we used to wait for them to come to us. And that opened up so many options for them. That opened up so many routes for them. So we were spread thin on the line of control with an LC fence, ambushes day after day, night after night, and things like that. That's how we've been operating. I've been operating for decades like that. 2016 changed that somewhat. Because after the terror attack at Kodi, for the first time ever, when I was a corps commander, we went across. And we stuck at terrorist launch pads. So we actually went forward by a few, 3-4 kilometers. And we stuck at the launch pads. Now, launch pads are still not the camps. They are not the hubs. It is just the pad from where they are launched across the LOC. In 2019, we made a bolder precision airstrike deep inside at Jabba Top, near Balak. The terrorist camp was at Jabba Top. You know, mistakenly people have always call it Balakot. I mean, don't mind, but including media says Balakot. Balakot is 25 kilometers away from Jabba Top. The terrorist camp was at a mountain, on a mountaintop at Jabba Top. So there, this time, in 2016, it was a shallow strike in POK. In 2019, it was a deeper strike, not in POK. It was in Pakistan proper. And this time round, what we've done after this carnage at Pahalgam is that we've actually struck at 9 terror strikes, terror hubs, attacks, yeah. Camps, logistic bases, headquarters. And we've struck at all these locations. Some of them are very close to sensitive military installations. I mean, you take Murid K, you take the locations close to Islamabad. I mean, the locations that we've struck and we are next to the core headquarters.
Yeah.
So what we've done this time, to sum it up, earlier we used to only wait for them on our side of LOC. Then we creep forward to go at a launch pad. Then we struck at one terror camp deep inside. And this time round, we struck all across the board, across the entire IB, and deep inside, 100 kilometers deep inside, we struck at the terror camps itself.
Yep.
So like you said, yes, it will get rejuvenated, but now we've creeped forward. We are not waiting for them. We are proactive.
All right, General Satish Dua, wonderful speaking to you. Thank you so much for speaking to us. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, Vishnu.